It's important that we understand that every trial a believer goes through, God will bring comfort. God will rescue us. Why? Because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Compassion and merciful to us. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not chucking you to the side and say, I'm going to forget you. He loves you.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad to have you along today as Roel continues our study in the book of James with assurance that our hope is not misplaced if we look to God in seasons of suffering. When your faith is tested and your heart is weary, it's easy to wonder whether He's forgotten you. But as you keep listening today, you'll find the answer to that question is always no. God is with you to guide you through every earthly trial all the way to your heavenly home. Here's Roel Reese with today's lesson.
This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. In the book of James, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And James was, remember, still speaking to us about suffering Christians. Now, a lot of times we don't really understand that much unless, as a Christian, you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't read it, read it. Amazing. Every person that was ever killed in the first century. And what's amazing about that is that James was the brother of Jesus, and he gets saved. He writes this letter because he sees the problem between the rich and the poor, how the rich are oppressing the poor. And then at the same time as he's writing this epistle, he sees that not only they're being oppressed, but there's a lot of them that are persecuted. And there's a great persecution going on in the church. But then at the same time, these people that were suffering physically, a lot of them were losing hope. And that's why in verses 7, 8, and 9, and 10, three times he tells them about the coming of the Lord to encourage them. Hang on, Jesus is coming. It won't be long before you'll be delivered. And I think of how James, Paul, Peter, Jesus talked about his coming again. And when he's talking to the disciples in the Gospel of John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me. What a great hope God has given us. There may be some of you here tonight that are facing some huge, huge trials in your life. You don't even know sometimes. And what's amazing to me is the actual generation that we're living in today. Look at what's happening to the economies of the world today. People are suffering. And yet we as a church must never ever lose the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in what He's given to us. And what He's doing even at this particular moment. The Bible is very clear in Scripture concerning the suffering for Jesus Christ. Not only did Christ suffer for us, but we are going to suffer, believe it or not. I don't know if any of you can understand that. I never understood that until I came to a place of suffering. I couldn't relate to people until it happened to me. And I believe that God allowed me to go through that thing to show me that I'm not as strong as I think I am. And I think that goes for all of us here. Because there are people in the body of Christ, as James is writing, that they really don't understand what real suffering is like. When someone gets cancer, heart disease, real migraine headaches, or whatever the problem may be. But yet, even though we have never experienced, and this was my problem, I'm confessing to you, I didn't have compassion for that person. I did not have compassion for that person until it happened to me. And this is why James, man, he's making the case out of this whole thing. Check this out in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 5 of James. We pick it up there. He says in verse 11, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is a very compassionate and merciful." Remember, he's talking about the farmer and then the prophets, what they went through. Now he uses the next example, and that's Job. And the reason I wanted to bring Job in tonight is because Job is probably the only man in the whole Bible, apart from Jesus, that really, really suffered tremendously, big time, huge. Nobody can compare themselves to Job, nobody, in this room or any other room. Job really went through it. And what's amazing about here is that we need to come to that understanding of the Lord's blessings behind the suffering and the trials and temptations we all go through as Christians. So here James draws our attention to actually point out concerning this lesson. In James 5:11, let's take the first part where he says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." Who's them? Well, we really don't know. We know for sure that it's the church that is there that James has in Jerusalem. And they're being persecuted, they're poor, and the rich is taking advantage of them. Taking advantage of them. And yet that is those who are holding on to the end, and usually those whom we cannot really count as those that are really blessed, but they are blessed in the Lord when we see them. Those who cave in when the going gets tough, what happens to them? They usually flake out. They don't become strong. They don't pass the test. And by the way, whenever you don't pass the test, you got to retake the test. Get that in your minds. I don't care what it is. Nobody can just cruise. You got to pass the test according to God. Real important. Because the phrase that we count here introduces the fourth motive that he's talking about, and that's for patiently enduring trials. It is common knowledge that God has blessed those who are suffering or have suffered. That's why he says at the beginning of verse 11, he says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." Check this out. In Matthew chapter 10, just for a second here. Here Jesus is talking, he's getting ready to anoint the apostles and give them their mission. And in verse 22, he says, "All men will hate you because of me, but be of good cheer. Who stands firm into the end then will be saved." He's saying, if you're going to suffer, don't give up. Why? Because those that endure till the end shall be saved. Think of all of the things that are going to happen in the tribulation period when the Antichrist comes for those that come to faith in Jesus Christ in the tribulation. Those that you've witnessed to in your family, friends, they're not Christians today. But when the rapture comes and takes us home and they're left behind afterwards, and then they get persecuted by the Antichrist where they cannot buy or sell or go to school or go anywhere or even live in their homes, because you have to have the mark of the beast, otherwise you will be beheaded. That's going to be a real time of testing. And imagine the pressure that will come upon those in the tribulation period. That unless those days would be shortened, no flesh would be able to survive it. But for the elect's sake, God will spare them, the Jews that are going to be saved during this time. And yet when he uses the word to endure here, it is a translation from the verb hupomeno, which is related to the noun translated endurance in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Listen, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Not anger. Not hate. Not murmuring or complaining. Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And just as we noted earlier in verse 7, the word here refers to patiently enduring difficult circumstances in my own personal life. That's what he's referring to. Critical, difficult circumstances that every one of us have to face in our lives. And yet people who endure are the objects of divine favor before God. Divine favor. Paul understood this when he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says this. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." What's he talking about? Well, remember that he died in Lystra. They stoned him to death and they carried him out of the city and left him as dead. And during that period of time while he was dead, he went to heaven. He was cut up to the third heaven. And when he went to heaven, God sent him back to his body. And Paul woke up, he dusted himself up, and he went back into the city. I mean, that's Paul. But later he writes in 2 Corinthians that he went to heaven, and this is what he heard when he was in heaven. He says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me." The thorn that God gave him on the side. We really don't know. Some people said it was his eyesight. He was going blind. That was his thorn. We don't know. "And he said to me, after I asked him three times, 'Lord, I don't want to have this, what, this disease or this problem in my life.' He said this to him, 'My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong.'" I love that. Notice what he says. I mean, that's a real man of God, one that God is building character. And that's for every one of us here.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. For biblical resources to lift your heart and direct your life, visit us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com. You can also email Raul with your prayer needs and questions about Scripture. His address is pastorraul@somebodylovesyou.com. Now back to more of our study in James.
What's your thorn in the flesh? What has God given you to keep you humble? Every one of us. Read the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It'll blow you away. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. Paul was blessed even in this life with humility, dependence upon God, special grace, and even, by the way, spiritual strength given to him, and all through his being unjustly assaulted by Satan. God allowed Satan to harass him the rest of his life until he died to keep him humble. And remember, we talked about Satan, that Satan has to have permission. Otherwise, he can't touch me. Permission. That brings up another point. The second part of verse 11. Check this out. He says, "You have heard also of the perseverance of Job and seeing the end intended by the Lord." Oh man, when we were going through Job, it touched us right directly. And it's pretty amazing that sometimes people don't understand what they're facing, what they're going through. And yet this is so familiar of a story. It is drawn out from the book of Job to the Jewish reader, but also to us because we're Gentiles. And we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And yet in this incredible story of endurance, Job, amid all of his trials, was one of the most popular stories in Jewish history that is spoken about. Even when his wife came against Job and said, "Job, why don't you curse God?" And he rebuked his wife. Imagine that. Everything that Job went through Think about it for a moment. Job endured unimaginable and unexplained suffering that none of us can really relate to. The fierce attacks of Satan, the loss of his children. Every one of his children died. His wealth, his health, his reputation. And worst of all, the sense of not having God's presence in my life. That would be the worst, to think that God had left me. And God never left him. But he felt empty and he felt all alone. When even his three friends turned against him and his wife, and he was all alone. Remember, the story is pretty amazing story. In the book of Job chapter 1 and 2, we have the story where Satan presents himself before the Lord. He's checking in, and the Lord says to Satan, Satan, where you been? He says, well, I've been cruising up and down the earth. And then he says, well, have you ever considered my servant Job, that there's nobody like him in all the earth? And then Satan says, Job, come on, God. Job is your favorite. You love him too much. And God said to him, I tell you what, I'm going to open the door for you to go ahead and tempt him. You're going to allow it? Yep. Except one thing, you can't touch his life. Man, Satan didn't waste no time. When he got permission, he was gone. And when he was gone, the first thing he did is what? He went down and he killed his children. And took all of his cattle, all of his income, all of his wealth. And by the end of the day, when four people had come in to give testimony of all his losses, what did Job do? We read it in chapter 1. He got on his knees, he ripped his clothes off, he put sackcloth on, and he said, naked I came into this world, naked I leave. Blessed be the Lord, notice, who has given, and blessed be the Lord that has taken away. Bless his name. Can you say that? When everything happens to you. That was Job. And then, after that, chapter 2, again, Satan checks in with all his demons. He said, I've been cruising up and down the earth. He had just destroyed all of Job's family. And then again, he says again, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do, Satan. I will let you get to Job, except you cannot touch him, his life. I'm in control of the life. Satan didn't waste no time, man. He was gone. And what happened to Job? He got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, where he could not stand, he could not sit, he could not lie down, he couldn't walk, in pain, suffering, screaming, crying, yelling. And yet, we think, God, why would you do that? It's really important that we understand that God is in full control of my life. It's important that we understand that every trial a believer goes through, God will bring comfort. God will bring comfort. God will rescue us. Why? Because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Compassionate and merciful to us. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not chucking you to the side and say, I'm going to forget you. He loves you. And maybe this morning, and maybe this afternoon, maybe this evening, or maybe tomorrow, or next week, or next year, you don't know. Something is coming with permission from the handprint of God to Satan. Are you going to be able to bear it? Or are you going to become bitter and curse God? Because when he speaks of his great compassion that he had toward Job, and that he has for you and me, it's an incredible word. It means many voweled, reflecting to the Hebrew Edom, which spoke of the vowels or the stomach and the seat of the emotions, real deep down here. That is to say that God is many voweled, is to affirm that he has an enormous capacity for compassion for you and me. Think about the compassion of God, how amazing it is in each one of our lives. when we think about it. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Unto God. Why does he say that? Well, because of what he said here in the past. Let me read it again. This is so cool. Verse 11, the third part, notice, you have heard that Job, the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord. And then again, notice that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Compassionate and merciful. To who? To you. To me. Think how many of us should be in hell tonight. I know I should be in hell. And yet, look what God has done in your lives. Think of all your friends and family members that do not want anything to do with Jesus, and some of them are sick. Some are really sick, and they're going to die and go to hell. But unless they're willing to submit and to repent and to really confess their situation and their sins, they will never make it. But yet God has you there to intercede, to pray, and to share with them the truth of God. Why? Because God loves you so much and he loves them. When we really have compassion and tenderness and we have the love of Christ, we cannot help to tell people about Jesus. We got to tell them. Everybody has a will. Everybody has to make up their mind who they're going to serve. And Job made up his mind. He could have cursed God. He could have said, you know what, God? I'm done with you because you killed my children. You took away all my money, all of my sheep, my camels. Everything happened to me. And he didn't have the poor means. But what did he do? He endured. He endured. Even when his three friends came and they saw him, they started weeping. And then they started putting him down. What did he do? He trusted in the Lord. And what happened at the end? God blessed him more than at the beginning. He made it. He made it. We can make it through too. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of who he is and what he's done in our lives. We must never, ever forget that.
Well, if you're going through a difficult time right now, it's our prayer that you'll find comfort in God's presence and strength in his eternal truth. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Rees. Today's lesson from the book of James is available in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. To get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's study from James chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Now, we'd also like to tell you about Raul's insightful 8-part series titled Traits of a Christian. It's available on either CD or USB. Challenging you to spend more regular time in Scripture. This study will help you better understand what it looks like to walk with the Lord through every season of life. You'll also learn about the rich blessings that come from investing your heart in eternity. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's Traits of a Christian series. We'll send you the thumb drive for $12 or the CD set for $22. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. On Raul's Straight Talk program, he answers common questions about events or issues going on right now in our nation and in the church, as well as addressing current challenges for living godly in these last days. Straight Talk can be streamed every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Thanks so much for your partnership in this listener-supported ministry. Every donation you give helps us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Next time, as we continue this series in the book of James, we'll contemplate the mighty power of prayer and commit to coming before God's throne not only with our own personal needs, but on behalf of those who don't yet know Jesus. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul once again.
And then James, in the same chapter, the next verse is kind of out of place, but he throws it in. Check this out, verse 12. He says this, but above all, my brethren, speaking to Christians, do not swear either by heaven or by the earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no's be no's, lest you fall into judgment. Yet, how many times have Christians done that in business and the other Christian has ripped off the other person in dishonesty? He says, you better be careful. You better be careful when you make an allegiance to God. You better keep what you say. He's going to hold you to it. Because we've all met people that they swear to you. By the name of God, they swear by the Bible. And yet, a Christian's word should be his bond. That's what makes us men of God, women of God. If we're not faithful in the little things, then how are we going to get the big things? That's what the scripture says. I would pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and that we would take heed to what the Spirit says to the church and that we would do what's right before the Lord.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.